think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
From the number one sports site in the world.
Big names.
Bold interviews.
Beyond the X's and O's.
Welcome to the fastest 2 hours in radio.
On Yahoo Sports Radio.
And YahooSportsRadio.com.
This is the Big E Sports Show.
With the one and only, the triple threat, the Big E.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell. The 6 foot former Sooner women's basketball player.
She can post, pin, and produce with some of today and yesterday's biggest stars.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell delivers sports the way you want it. Get ready to go beyond the X's and O's
with today's star athletes, coaches, and sports figures.
This is the Big E Sports Show
right now.
Now from the Quicken Loans studios of Yahoo Sports Radio.
Are you ready?
Quicken Loans, engineered to amaze.
Here she is, the one and only, the Big E, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell, welcome inside the Quicken Loans studios and Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show on this Friday night. Thank you so much for joining us. We are here from 8 to 10 Eastern every Friday and jam-packed over the next 2 hours with some amazing guests and a number of topics to discuss. We're going to get into the NBA playoffs. We're going to recap the draft lottery. And also, we're going to get the thoughts on Tiger Woods' press conference from earlier this week. But tonight, we're going to open up our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line with our dear friend, George Vesey, longtime columnist with the New York Times and best-selling author, who is here to discuss the Rio Olympics as they face a number of issues and battle a host of problems. We definitely wanted to get his insight and perspective. Welcome back, George. We have missed you.
Well, I always like talking to you, but it seems that I only bother you when I have a book to promote. So I apologize. I have to do better.
Oh, well, I'm hoping you're enjoying some downtime because you're always working so hard. You're an ambitious guy, right, George?
I am, but I'm also enjoying having some free time and family and puttering around. It actually is nice. People say when the dreaded R word, retirement, there are things to be said for it.
Well, let's roll up our sleeves and let's get to work because the summer is just around the corner, and I wanted to preview the Olympics. How ready is Rio? It seems there's several pressing issues that remain before the games begin.
Yeah. Now, from a distance, and again, I haven't been down there. In fact, I've never been to Brazil, although I love the country mostly through its music and its people. But from what I read, from what I hear, and I still try and stay plugged into all this stuff, that they're not ready, that they just haven't been able to do the things they promised. I don't know how disastrous it will be in terms of buildings not finished, roads not finished. That has happened too, you know, literally painting things on the day before. But I do have to say this. I covered seven Summer Olympics from 1984 in Los Angeles through 2008 in Beijing. Almost every time there was gloom and doom, and particularly in the media, in the print press, we'd be writing about the things that could go wrong, and it was realistic, it was fair. I mean, I remember 1988, the Olympics in Seoul, a year ahead of time, there was a coup, there was a change of government. People were in the streets rioting, and I remember calling the head of the USOC, Robert Helmick, and he was in Seoul, and he said, look, I'm in the Hilton Hotel on the top of a hill, I'm looking out, there's no smoke, there's no fire. And he said the Olympics will come off as planned, and they were wonderful Olympics. They had done a lot of things, they fixed up the city a lot, and it was fine. So almost every time there's gloom and doom. This time it sounds worse for a lot of reasons that I could go into. For example, the economic boom of Brazil 10 years ago that made the Olympics possible has gone away.
Right.
There's political instability, and I really do think that given the amount of corruption and instability in the country, and I'm saying this from a distance, and I love Brazil, but it just sounds like possibly everybody's bitten off too much this time.
Best-selling author and New York Times sports columnist, longtime columnist, George Vesey is with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We would love to connect with you. Join us at Twitter, at E Radio Sports. And you can go back and listen to this interview at podcastarena.com. Click on the YSR tab. We are zeroing in on the 2016 Olympics. Rio, is it ready? And the perception, as we're talking about, it's not good. The political turmoil, the infrastructure race. Also, the thing we've got to hit on, George, is the Zika concerns and the mosquito-borne virus that has spread across many countries in South and Central America has really caused concern in Brazil. And there is no vaccination for Zika. So how can we be assured that the games won't be affected by these viruses?
Well, I don't think you can be. From what I read, a story from the WHO the other day, the president of it was saying that Brazil is the worst country for the Zika virus. There's more cases of it around. And you can't, it's a single mosquito. One mosquito bite could affect particularly a pregnant woman and affect
right.
her unborn child. So it's a dangerous thing to think about. Now, the times, I haven't asked many of my friends. One of my colleagues is indeed of childbearing age. I don't know what precautions they're taking. I do remember getting inoculations before going to Athens in 2004, before going to Beijing in 2000. You know, I remember going in and getting all kinds of shots that the New York Times insisted we belong to this program and we get shots. So I'm sure that for the people who are working there, they're protected. But for the casual tourist, the athletes will get their shots, but particularly the problem is going to be for the water sports, and we're going to get to that, but let me just segue to it, that what breeds mosquitoes is water,
right.
And where are these five or six major sports in the Olympics, rowing, canoeing, sailing, they're on the Bay of Guanabara. Sounds great when Carlos Jobim is singing about it. It's not so good when you're getting right up close to it and seeing all the stuff floating in the Bay of Guanabara. So I think they haven't been able to clean up the bay, and anytime you've got bad water, it's a breeding place for mosquitoes.
Longtime sports columnist, New York Times, George Vesey, is back with us at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. And let's talk about some of the athletes in attendance. I mean, the superstars, they say they're ready to go. But I found it interesting, George, that U.S. women's soccer goalkeeper Hope Solo said earlier this week she's excited for the Olympics, she's committed to going, but at the same time, she is worried about health issues, like as we're talking about, and she's going to take every precaution necessary. In fact, she's not going to leave the hotel or room outside of practice and the games.
Well, I think that's reasonable, and I'm sure that the teams will stress that. Of course, the women's soccer has also had labor problems based on share of the pie of the money from the federation. So they were talking about not going at all, and of course, I hope they do. But Solo is right, and these women, these are some of the best and the brightest of American, you know, people, American athletes, and they know their stuff. They will be looking out for themselves and for their teammates because it's a serious thing. I think eventually curiosity will. Hey, you tell me that if Hope Solo or any other American has a day off and they're in the athlete's village and somebody says, hey, we're going down to the beach at Ipanema, or we're going to hear some Brazilian music being played in a club. You can't tell me that some of them won't say, well, let's give it a try. But I just hope they have their shots. You know, whatever mm-hmm. is being done for them to go there.
I have to wonder, George, I mean, with all these issues that we're talking about, how did Rio win the right to stage the games? I mean, they pledged to clean up, you know, the locations, things are going to be completed, but how did they win it all?
Well, that's a good question. First of all, the Olympics, as with World Soccer, as much of scandal has come into World Soccer, but both of them talk a very good game, and in fact live up to it, about moving the games around the world. It's very important to them to touch different parts of the world. South Africa was the first African nation to hold a World Cup. Brazil is the first Latin American country, South American country, I should say, to hold the Olympics. So, and of course, is Rio is the host city. That's the way it works. But it's the first time it's ever gone south of Central America. And they try to do that. They're looking to move it around, and then there are the deals. Then there are the promises. You know, it seemed like a good idea when it was put in Atlanta. Only later do you find out about the shopping trips and the this and the that. You read about the deals that were cut in the World Cup. It's a big business, and people will pay bribes or favors or give. Salt Lake City was giving out jobs to the sons and daughters of delegates just to get them on their side for the vote. So there's lots of maneuvering that goes on beforehand. I couldn't tell you. The bottom line is, Lisa, and I don't want to be total gloom and doom on this, that the Olympics and the World Cup are sort of the Typhoid Mary of sports events, because having it is not so good. You come in contact with it, and 10 years, 20 years later, like Athens, like Montreal in 1976, I mean, I don't even know if they've paid off their debts yet.
Yeah.
But these countries, we're the greatest little country in the world, or the greatest big country in the world. I mean, only a China can absorb that stuff. You know, they shut off their factories for a couple of weeks so the air would be clean. And you know what? It wasn't terrible. And as soon as we left, it went back again. Los Angeles, they got all the traffic out of L.A. in 1984. The only time I saw a traffic jam was the day after the Olympics on the way back to LAX.
New York Times sports columnist George Vesey with us in Hour 1 at YSR. We will be right back, and the conversation continues about the 2016 Rio Olympics.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on Yahoo Sports Radio. Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
The Big E.
I get up in the evening, and I ain't got nothing to say.
Hey, we are so glad you're with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. We're going one-on-one with New York Times sports columnist George Vesey. We're getting you ready for the 2016, the Rio Olympics. And we've been talking about all the number of issues that they're having to deal with. So let me ask you this. I mean, is there a possibility this could be postponed or it could be canceled if they don't meet these obligations?
I would say it would take a terrible emergency, you know, civic unrest or rampant. I know that a year before China was supposed to hold the Women's World Cup in 2003, they had the bird flu, as I recall. And this was serious stuff, and nobody knew what it was. Could I equate it to the Zika virus? You know, I guess, as a layman, I could. But all I know is that the Chinese listened to reason. The FIFA said to them, you get it next time. We need a safe place. About a year ahead of time, they moved it to the United States. I mean, we could absorb, you know, the Pope, world federations, the Olympics. We could absorb it all in this huge and rich country. So with all the stadiums and the hotels, and it went off fine. And then China did have it and was a very good host 4 years later. But there's a certain problem of getting this close with all the arenas that have to be built, the stadiums, the velodromes, and, you know, the cycling things and the archery thing. Those things are very specialized, and countries pay for them, and they're in place more or less in Brazil now. They've already paid for them, in a sense.
George Vesey with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, longtime columnist with the New York Times. I have to wonder, what will happen with the doping with so many of these athletes? The IOC announced Tuesday that 31 athletes in 6 sports from 12 countries could be banned from the Olympics in Rio after their doping samples from the 2008 Beijing Games that came back with positive retests. How can athletes be caught for doping so many years later, George?
They keep the samples. They have ways of keeping those samples legitimate for many, many years. And they go back and they run another test on them, where the testing gets better, but the sample is still legitimate X years later. It's usually that the criminals are ahead of the law in doping, but sometimes science and the law catch up with them in retrospect. I mean, Lance Armstrong, look how many years it took to show that many of his samples from some of the Tours de France that he rode in and won, that they were dirty. But and he knew it all along that he tested dirty at one point 5 times, but it was supposed to be a research. Later they broke in and tested him in his samples. But That stuff's out there. There's also the case of Russia having had such a false laboratory next door on the other side of the wall in their laboratory at Sochi. And according to a story in the New York Times, which sounds pretty legitimate to me, that there was a fake, there was a hole in that wall down low, and that even with closed circuit cameras, which were in the legitimate laboratory, you couldn't see when somebody on the inside, some Russian person, was passing the samples back and forth through this hole. I mean, it sounds like prohibition. It sounds like a speakeasy. But in fact, these were the main doping labs at the Sochi center. And it makes you wonder. Now, cheating goes on everywhere. Everybody's got cheaters. I mean, the U.S. had cheaters. Here was a guy writing for the United States Postal Service and cheating like crazy. Great identification for the Postal Service. Look at the people in other countries, Kenya, Jamaica, and so on. But Russia, it seems to be a national effort to cheat. And the question is, how did it not come to the attention of anybody? And if it did, does someone like Putin say, fine, go ahead with it. We want to win medals.
So this is not the first time that the IOC has retested Olympic samples. Is that correct?
As I understand it, yes. I think they always do. They can go back into it.
Let's talk some more about the Russians' athletes ban. I mean, how will Russia restore credibility or their reputation with this doping scandal?
I don't know that they can. They have given both kinds of statements up through now. They've been belligerent, as you'd expect from Putin. And on the other hand, they have said, well, we can work this out. There must be a mistake. We'll find the wrongdoers, etc. So you don't know which side of it they really mean. My guess is it couldn't have happened in the first place without approval from way on high, from government approval. So what will they do? I mean, if their best athletes cannot participate, it's a terrible disgrace to them. Eventually, as hosts of it, as participants in it, it's a terrible thing to happen. But since they want to win the medal count, and they did at Sochi, they could have a terrible black eye. How they would justify it? Could they say it's an American plot, it's a Western plot? I mean, they can find justifications. And I'm not a Russia basher. I think Russia has every right to be holding the Olympics or holding the World Cup or whatever they're doing. I mean, it's a great nation, great history, great people. That's not the point. But if they are going to cheat, they have to pay the price.
Well, if you allow Russia back into the games, that's going to affect the credibility of the Olympics, true?
Well, it certainly does, and it also makes countries like Kenya, which has a lot of there are a lot of questions about it. Jamaica has a lot of questions, and certainly the United States is nowhere near guilt-free because there's an awful lot of athletes that have tested positive. The track and field and other sports, cycling obviously, and many athletes will cheat to win a medal, and of course it's not just a medal, it's a lot of money for many Olympic athletes.
We're going to transition, since you're in New York, we want to get your thoughts on the Knicks, but my final question, talking about Rio, the bottom line is, can they deliver spectacular games, or what do you think, George? I mean, should it be postponed? I mean, I'm really concerned.
I don't think it can be postponed. I think they will go ahead. My guess is that there's plenty of talent, plenty of skill in Brazil. And people of goodwill, the IOC has been down there supervising. It's not totally unsupervised. The Zika is a wild card in that. My guess is that it will look good on television, that the people putting it on TV, they'll cover it as news, but what you see day by day, the crowds, the celebration, the music, the beauty of the people, the beaches, you'll see enough of that. You'll see enough of Corcovado, you'll see enough of Ipanema, and you'll hear enough Carlos Jobim. You'll see enough sports events. You'll see the great stuff. So I think it will go off, and I think that it'll be a good television event. What the ultimate bill for the Brazilian people and the health issues, I try to be optimistic, but there's always that history of gloom and doom.
We are getting ready to wrap up our interview with George Vesey, longtime sports columnist with the New York Times. We are so glad he's been with us to kick off our show tonight right here at YSR. But he is in New York, and so we wanted to get your thoughts on the big NBA news this week with the Knicks hiring of Jeff Hornacek. I mean, does this make perfect sense? What's your explanation?
Well, it's interesting because he's not a Phil Jackson guy. You know, Phil, who was once dubbed Big Chief Triangle by Jeff Van Gundy, his prime critic. Phil has tried to put this unrealistic. I mean, the triangle works great when the triangle consists of Jordan, Pippen, and Rodman, or Stevie Kerr. It's not so great when you have Carmelo Anthony, who's just a chucking machine. You know, he just cranks it up there. Great player, but not the kind of guy you want to be part of a complex offense.
Always one of our favorites, New York Times sports columnist George Vesey has been with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Enjoy retirement. And, George, we look forward to our next conversation. We'll definitely have you back talking about the Rio Olympics, okay?
The Big E. I'm always here for you.
Oh, you bet. Much more straight ahead right here in hour number one.
Listening to the Big E Sports Show on Yahoo Sports Radio. Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
The Big E.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell, welcome back inside the Quicken Loans studios here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show on this Friday night. The NBA Conference Finals, they continue to heat up, and in our next segment, hey, we're going to break it all down. We're delighted to have with us for the first time on our show, NBA TV's Vince Cellini. Thank you so much, Vince. It's great to have you on the program tonight.
Hi, Liz. It's great to be with you.
Thank you. Well, let's start off our conversation with highlighting one of your recent guests in studio. You had the opportunity to visit with Chicago Bulls shooting guard Jimmy Butler on Wednesday. And of course, the Bulls, they've not been to the draft lottery since 2008 when they selected Derrick Rose number one overall. And the Bulls, of course, missed the playoffs for the first time in his career. So tell all of our audience across the country, I mean, what did Jimmy share about his struggles of this past season?
Well, you know, it's been an interesting year. Obviously, like you said, he did not make the playoffs for the first time as a professional. And I think that led to, obviously some tension there and some maybe reevaluation of who the Bulls are moving forward. There's a lot of speculation about whether, you know, Jimmy was a guy that could get traded. And he seemed to think that they worked through that, both Jimmy and management, and that he initially was taken a little aback with GM Gar Foreman's comment about all things being on the table as to whether or not Jimmy Butler was the centerpiece of that team.
Yeah.
And was very open-ended. But he said he understands it, and he said that it's on him. And he took a lot of responsibility, saying, look, I didn't play good enough. I wasn't healthy enough. And I think that's really what he wants to do moving forward is get himself to a position where he can be healthy for an entire season. And more importantly, he and Derrick Rose can be healthy for an entire season. I did ask him if he enjoys playing with Derrick, and he does. He said, but a lot of things have not allowed them to get to the level to where they need to be a contender, and that is, you know, just getting both of these guys on the floor at the same time and getting more of a connection. I think one of the things that he's going to try to do this year is to work out with Derrick in the off season, which they haven't. I was surprised. I said, I'm really kind of stunned that you guys haven't gotten together. But they're going to try to get together in the off season. Spend some time, maybe build some of that chemistry. But it's been difficult because, you know, Jimmy's a single guy. His workouts are notorious. He gets up at 5 a.m. and he is hitting it hard, like two workouts by 11, which is his lunch. And Derrick is, you know, very involved with his family and his son, and that's fine. So I think it's just a matter of trying to get them together. But, you know, Jimmy's a hard worker, and I think he wants to be great. And one of the things he's focusing on this summer is Team USA, which he feels like is going to mean a lot to him to represent his country. And he wants to be that guy out front for the Chicago Bulls. And Alyssa, when you look at his talent level, I mean, he had, you know, several 40-point games, a 53-point game
right
last year. Mm-hmm. There's no denying that. But I think it's just getting more consistency out of him and getting his health together. But he doesn't want to go anywhere. He wants to be a Chicago Bull. And the other question is, who's going to stay for that team? You know, Pau Gasol could leave. Etuan Moore could leave. Joakim Noah could leave. So we could get a real turnaround with the Bulls. But I enjoyed spending time on the NBA TV set with Jimmy. I found him to be a very smart and quick learner, certainly in television, and I liked his personality and his observations that he gave us.
He's simply one of the best. NBA TV's Vince Cellini is with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We'd love for you to connect with us. Join us at Twitter, at E Radio Sports. We're kicking off our conversation talking about the Chicago Bulls, and I want to hear some more, Vince, in terms of what will be the offseason priorities, and how do the Bulls plan to change the narrative, and how just things unfolded this past season?
Well, you know, one of the things about being in a city like that is that, I don't want to say the ghost of, but the legend of Michael Jordan looms large in that city. And so expectations are very, very high because of the run that they've been on. But I think also that Jimmy and Fred Hoiberg and the rest of the team have to also get on the same page. And I think that communication level has to improve some. Jimmy admitted that he may have made a mistake this year when he, after a tough game, sort of called out Hoiberg in the locker room saying that this team needs to be coached harder. And he also said that, look, I've got to be a better leader. And he's learning how to be that type of leader. So I think they have to understand what type of personality that they want to have and what type of players they want to bring in. They're going to have to be building with guys like Nikola Mirotic and Doug McDermott, mm-hmm. Tony Snell. And so, you know, Derek and Jimmy are a good foundation, but again, they have to be healthy. It was interesting. I this is almost a very under-the-radar move, but the Bulls, just a couple of days ago, dismissed their director of sports performance and also their strength coach.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes those are moves that may be a symptom of a greater problem. When you see, it's always like a hitting coach, you know, gets fired in baseball or something like that. So I think that they're looking at all areas in trying to improve. They'll pick 14th. They could get a good player there. And I think Chicago is still a destination for free agents. So I just wonder if it's going to be too much of a reset for them in the offseason in terms of some of the personnel. And there may be an adjustment period that carries through next year as well.
You know, a reset, a reboot. I have to wonder, too,
yeah.
Did Jimmy talk about, as far as the draft lottery experience, representing the Bulls on that stage? Because he was, what, the 30th pick in the 2011 draft?
Yeah. Right. I think he might have seen that as some sort of, I don't want to say olive branch, but maybe a message from management that, yeah,
mm-hmm,
you are a guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it was a privilege to be there and represent the team. It was a fun thing. He was very visible, and he enjoyed that experience as being one of the leaders and one of the faces of the Bulls organization. His chances going in, as were the Bulls, were minuscule. So I said, at least you got to rep the Bulls. It didn't mean you picked higher because they were mm-hmm. pretty much going to finish there. But the one thing about Chicago this year was just, again, getting some consistency. You know, Alyssa, they were 7-1 against both Cleveland and Toronto during the regular season. So sometimes if you can just get in to the playoffs, you may be able to get yourself in and make a run. They weren't able to do that. But certainly, they're one of the better teams in the Eastern Conference. And I think that, you know, I would be stunned if they weren't back in the playoff mix next year. But, Jimmy, to answer your question, did enjoy the draft lottery experience and being there. And, you know, in consecutive nights, he did that and then came in NBA TV studio and spent the night with us.
What was your assessment of the job that Fred Hoiberg did in his rookie season and perhaps some of the things that he will change going forward?
Well, you know, Fred was night and day in terms of replacing Tom Thibodeau. Thibodeau was fire and brimstone. I mean, he just got in guys' faces. He was loud. He coached constantly on the sidelines. You heard him. He was just a huge, huge presence. And Fred is really the complete opposite. Not that that's any better or worse. That's just his style. You know, he's more of a pensive, quiet, you know, it's going to be okay kind of guy. So I think there was an adjustment for him at the professional level, and you know, he has a style that he wants to play that I don't think he can consistently play because of the injuries that were affecting his team. So that had a lot to do with what the Bulls could or could not do this year. We had to give him a year. It wasn't a successful year because they didn't make postseason. So next year is going to be very important for Fred Hoiberg in terms of putting his stamp on this team and making whatever first-year adjustments he's going to have to make. I think clearly he would admit that that wasn't a success. I think it's a slam to say that, but he's going to have to he's going to have to push the right buttons next year, Alyssa, definitely, to get this team in the mix.
Okay, so the 2016 draft order is set. The Philadelphia 76ers are owners of the number one pick. Who are they going to take in the number one pick? Is it going to be Ben Simmons or Ingram?
Well, we spoke with Scott Howard Cooper from NBA.com on our show, and he seems to think that Philadelphia is leaning toward Ingram, and he feels like he has the edge over Simmons in terms of being more of a polished offensive player and a guy that can give them that initially right away. Coming out of a program like Duke, he feels like he's just a better fit for a team like Philadelphia that just really needs offensive help right now. So he feels like that's the guy.
Vince, you do a great job. It's such an honor to have you on our show tonight. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you very much. It was a pleasure. Should I call you Big E? Or just...
the Big E, that's right. A throwback to those days at Oklahoma.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, thanks so much. Much more straight ahead right here in hour number one at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. You stay close.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on Yahoo Sports Radio. Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio, here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
The Big E.
Alyssa Walker Campbell, good evening and welcome back inside the Quicken Loans studios here in Houston at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. It is time to tee it up. We're going to talk some golf. We're going to recap Tiger Woods' press conference from Tuesday. And we have invited back on our show tonight USA Today's national columnist Christine Brennan to get her thoughts. She was at the press conference and there is a number of burning questions. Good evening, Christine.
Hey, Alyssa, how you doing?
I'm doing great. It's good to hear your voice. And obviously, I want to get your impressions from this week's press conference and how Tiger Woods handled it. It appears that doubt and uncertainty defines his future.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he had about a 15-minute little press conference. I asked a question. Others did, too, where I think what the big takeaway from that was that he has no idea when he's coming back yet. And he said he's practicing and he's getting better and healthier and stronger. But he said he doesn't know if it's next week or next year. And to me, that was the money quote. Next week or next year. Whoa. So there was that. The bigger deal to me was right after that 15-minute Q&A with the members of the media, he then was asked, along with a couple other people who were, there was a veteran there and there was another person, they were hitting a shot each. And then Tiger was asked to hit a couple shots, 102 yards. Just, he could roll out of bed and hit that shot 100 times out of 100. Over the water, everyone, I think, knows Congressional Country Club in Bethesda, the par 3 tenth. This was not that par 3. It was the green, but this was more than 100 yards closer than what the tee box was for the 2011 U.S. Open that Rory McIlroy ran away with. So that's a 218-yard shot. This was 102 yards.
Wow.
Just a little pitch over the water. Within 50 seconds, Tiger, who had not practiced at all and was stretching a little bit right before he hit the shots, but again, this is just in-your-sleep kind of golf, three times in 50 seconds, all three balls went into the water. I've never seen anything like it. It went from being this kind of funny little exhibition moment that no one would care about, that you're kind of half looking at and half not, to being an incredibly telling moment about just how far Tiger Woods still has to go and how the futility now in his golf game, and to the point where some of us wondered if he just did that on purpose, if he like faked it, if that was his idea to hit balls in the water,
yeah.
Which I do not believe is the case at all. But if that would have made more sense than what we actually saw if he was really trying. It was just a stunning moment. And something that I think those of us who are there will never forget, watching Tiger Woods just completely fall apart.
Columnist with USA Today, Christine Brennan, is back with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. You can follow her at Twitter, at CBrennanSports. So from that press conference, I mean, what was your initial reaction? And even from the fans and the media that was around you, I mean, there were meaningless shots, but the fact that he couldn't even make a 100-yard shot, I mean, that's stunning.
Oh, it couldn't even, and it's not, of course, to get it close to the pin. It's just to get it over the water and get it on the green.
Mm-hmm.
It really was. We were all kind of like, what? Huh? Again, because no one expected much from it. No one really cared about it. It's not like I was there to cover that. I just went out there to talk to him for a few minutes, and the fact that he was hitting three shots, if he didn't hit three shots, it didn't matter. You know what I mean? This is just purely for the cameras to get some interest ginned up, you know, so people can, you know, buy tickets, promote the event, who knows, you know, to get the on the 11 o'clock, 6 and 11 o'clock news. I mean, that's kind of what this is, to get a good shot by Tiger close to the pin. So I think we were all kind of, what, huh? You know, that was weird. It was more just kind of disbelief that just happened. And as I live in D.C., so I'm about 15 minutes away, and as I drove home and realized I was going to, of course, be writing a column about it, I thought, well, that's my column. I mean, that was so incredible. So it was a big deal when it happened, and then the sense of it like that, it was extraordinarily telling about where Tiger is. All his words, all his comments, oh, I'm getting better, whatever, all of that meant nothing when three balls went in the water like that on Monday. That to me was 100% the story.
Well, and it sounds like, you know, Tiger Woods, he's closer to retiring perhaps than returning. I mean, his former coach Hank Haney said it might not be till 2017 that he's able to, and you know, make a return, and he knows Tiger more than anybody.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Well, the man that we saw on that makeshift tee, 102 yards, who put three balls in the drink within 50 seconds, less than a minute, that man I don't think he's ready to play a round of golf, period, mm-hmm. much less competitive. I mean, you and I haven't practiced. I'm like Tiger, I haven't practiced in a while, you know, but I play a couple times a year.
Uh-huh.
I got to believe I could have gotten one over the water. Now maybe nerves, because mm-hmm. you know, people are watching you and all that, but I've teed off with people around me before, and I mean, you just cannot state how clearly out of shape or out of golf shape or just rusty. Now it was chilly, not like 55 to 60 degrees, so it was a little chillier. He said he hadn't warmed up. He said he hadn't practiced, which again is something that is really surprising to me, and I think tells you that he felt he could just show up and do that. Because of course he could show up.
Did he take any practice swings at all, Christine?
Well, just a practice. Yeah, he went like he reached up. People can look at it online and see the video. You know, he kind of reaches up and kind of stretches. But no, so he didn't practice for one reason, because he didn't think he had to practice. This is a 102 yard shot.
Wow.
This is like me turning on my laptop to write a column. That would be the act of turning on the laptop. That would be how simple that should be for me. That's how simple this should be. So he didn't even practice. So I because he didn't think he had to. And I'll tell you, the third time, you can audibly, it's very faint, but you can hear it. He goes, come on, Tiger, under his breath. So here he is, like you or I would be like, come on, do it. Oh, the more I think about it, even the more talking with you about it almost a week later, extraordinary, absolutely an extraordinary window into how where he is.
So much more I wanted to get into, but we are short on time. Thank you, Christine. We'll talk to you soon.
Oh, thank you so much, Liz. Take care.
Stick around. Andy Pondillo coming up in hour number two at YSR, the Big East Sports Show, with our weekly MLB news and notes.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.